Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And run with Matt Spiegel.
You know, I think both of us, certainly I do, listen to a lot of sports radio. Matt Spiegel got on with some takes that were pure gold.
Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
In the air to left field, Eloy drifting back. He is still going. Eloy is at the wall, and it is gone.
Eloy crashed into the fence
again.
That is
not good news.
He's hurt. Banging into the wall like that. He comes away hurt, and this is something that we really can't have.
Tempted by the fruit of another. Tempted, but the truth is discovered. What's been going on? And now that you have gone, there's no other.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Oh, good Sunday morning to you baseball people. What's going on? Opening day looms. A mere 4 days away, Cubs will be here in Chicago at Wrigley Field with fans in the stands. A slight increase thanks to the mayor the other day. The White Sox will be in Anaheim against Joe Madden's Angels. Two of the more interesting teams as we enter 2021. Hope all are well. Going to be a fun morning talking baseball right here on Hit and Run. The score is venerable, not vulnerable. Sunday morning baseball show in year number 15. Lots going on today. Sean Marshall from the Marquee Sports Network will join us at 10 o'clock to talk Cubs. This rotation is now set. Want to know what he thinks about David Ross's decisions at the back end of that rotation. What life is like at this point for a big leaguer as you transition from spring to the regular season. Want to ask him about picking Greg Maddux's brain when he was a young pitcher. He talked a little bit about that this week. Dovetails nicely with some of the young Cubs pitchers talking to some of the older starters, although Jake Arrieta is no Greg Maddux. Kyle Hendricks is closer stylistically. But both those guys, very worthy of having their brains picked by young pitchers. So we'll talk to Sean about that. Eno Saris, who I love talking baseball with, the analytics writer for The Athletic. Always a creative and thoughtful output every year from Eno Saris. Look forward to talking to him at 11 o'clock. Along the way, you, me, we're going to be hanging out together all morning long. And you are welcome to text the show at any point. The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. As we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And you can always give us a call as well, all morning long at 312-644-6767. You can tweet at me if you want at MattSpiegel670. There's no Twitch yet, despite the very vibrant request from Ben from Queens last week, where Mitch Rosen was supposedly listening. Whatever, boss. No, but that's okay. Maybe someday. Although, you know, it's nice to be in my jammies here on a Sunday morning from home. I don't mind telling you, as my son plays some Roblox in the other room. I don't understand it. I don't get it. There's a lot of clicking. It's endless. He seems to enjoy it. Tells me that he's good at it. I believe him, but I still don't understand it. What happened to baseball video games, people? The baseball video games of my youth. What's going on? Need to get a game system. Set that kid up with some baseball. See what happens. Time to give in. He's nine. But that's not why you called. Here's the opportunity for you these next 3 hours. Lots of baseball news all week long, including, of course, the massive news with the fallout on the South Side. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about Eloy Jimenez, about the play, where it happened, if you want, about the solutions for the White Sox in-house to begin with, outside the house. Eventually, if need be. And I want to talk with you guys and hear from you about asking someone to be less than what they could be for the sake of safety in sports. And baseball is unique, I know. But frankly, I have my doubts about what is reasonable to ask of an athlete. What is realistic to ask of an athlete if they have shown you that perhaps they're not capable of thinking about it, dealing with it, decision-making on an elite scale, what is supposed to happen? It's been a very, very awkward week with that news, and things have been so good and exciting in White Sox camp, but to have that, it's kind of rough. The World Series odds took a big hit. American League pennant odds took a big hit. I saw that Fangraphs was predicting originally that the left fielders of the White Sox would be top four in wins above replacement. And now they're down to 27 in wins above replacement. It is a big deal to remove Eloy's bat from that lineup. They will be better defensively, pretty much no matter who they throw out there. Unless it's Andrew Vaughn early. But hell, how long will it take Andrew Vaughn to be decent out there, awkwardly in left? I want to talk about it with you, and we'll play some tape in a matter of moments here to kind of set up the conversation. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Lots of talk coming with the Cubs. We'll talk some bullpens. We'll talk about a brand new White Sox signee as the Cuban connection continues. And we've got some numbers to kick around in the final hour as well. Going to figure out a few things in terms of projections over the course of the year and in terms of just things you're going to watch, items you will watch as the season goes on. But before we do that, let's hear from a couple people to set up this conversation about Eloy, okay? Ian Happ was on with Bernsey and Layla, as he always is. And my contention has been, especially with Eloy, if they're ever going to ask him to play there again, you can't ask an outfielder to go at 60% capacity in left field because you're afraid that he's going to get hurt. That is just too hard to ask them to do that. But Ian Happ, a converted infielder, now a very solid center fielder, talked with Bernsey and Rahimi about the realities of what an outfielder is supposed to do in terms of managing risk as he goes about his business.
Risk management as an outfielder, just in general, how you came up as a baseball player, that as a youth, collegiately, and now professionally, how do you make sure you're always aware in some way of where your body is relative to other things and other people, and trying to figure out a time and a place to put it at risk?
It's a big part of it. Especially in spring training. I think it's something that you learn kind of as you go, and definitely at the professional level more than any other. You know, ran into a few walls in college and in my early professional days. And then once you realize that it's 162 games and you're more valuable to the team if you're on the field, that's a huge part of it. And it's making sure, especially in spring training, that you're getting your reads and you're running around the field and doing the right things. But at the same time, you're taking care of your body and making sure that you're not putting yourself at risk, because the last thing that you want to do is be down for a period of time and not be able to help the team.
There's a lot going on when you're out in the outfield thinking about all those different adjustments, all those different sacrifices, all those different things you should be thinking about. You got to have a lot of space, a lot of time, and a lot of focus, a lot of ability to be present in that headspace as you worry about all those kinds of things. Is it a realistic ask for everybody? Listen to Steve Stone with me and Danny Parkins this past Thursday talking about Eloy and the play itself as Stoney and Jason Benetti were watching it together.
Well, you don't ask him to play safety first because, again, you can't protect yourself out there. It's like asking a pitcher, you know what, the season's coming close, so don't throw that good hard slider in the last couple of appearances. You can't really do that. But if he gets hurt on a hustle play, if he's running toward the line and he pulls a hamstring, if he's coming and charging in on a ball and he turns his ankle, you've got no complaint with that, because that's an aggressive play, and that's one of those things that you say to yourself, okay, he was doing it aggressively. It was not a dumb play. It was a smart play. It's just that, you know, he got hurt. But when you see somebody get hurt, and he gets hurt on a play that you never should have attempted, you have to realize where you are. There's a week to go in spring training. This is the second inning. You've just driven in a run, given the Sox the lead. It's the second inning, and he leaps over the fence for a ball that you just ask, why? Why are you doing that?
That's Steve Stone the other day with me and Danny Parkins. And Stoney was stronger than I expected, more upset with Eloy than I had expected, and probably spoke for some in the organization. Upset that Eloy would make those decisions that he made. To me, I understood the play as he was making it, jumping up at the wall, trying to get there. I know it wasn't super close to the glove, but he's in a team sport, trying to be good at his position. What was awkward was the hang, the rim hang, the Vince Carter rim hang with the forearm that just didn't make a lick of sense. And it irritated Stoney. I think Eloy will not play left field again on the regular ever. And it's a big shift for some of us. It's a shift for me. That's how problematic this play was. That's how sad this moment is. It's how awkward the injury is, how maddening to so many it is. And how damaging it is right now in a year where you're going for it. So those feelings are all rolling around, mixed in within the organization with love for the dude, obviously, with much, much love for the kind of guy Eloy is, for the presence he is, and from a personality perspective, and what he brings to the clubhouse, all of that mixed in. But it's a game changer. It is a game changer. I don't think it is realistic to ask every player to do the kind of stuff that Ian Happ was talking about. I don't think it's realistic to ask Eloy Jimenez to do it in left field anymore. I don't think it is. And I thought it was too young to give up on. But now that you've cost yourself a full season with that, and you add that to everything else that has happened out there, and all of this context, I'm ready to close the book on Eloy as a left fielder.
Why? Why are you doing that?
Take the gloves away. It's time. It's time. It's too bad. You don't want to limit somebody like that. But what you can't do is ask him to make the myriad decisions of when to go hard, when not to go hard, when to pull up, enrages pitchers by pulling up a little on a gettable ball, perhaps. because he has not shown the decision-making proficiency. He has not shown the spatial awareness. He has not shown the athleticism. He has shown you a ton of problems, a ton of issues out there. And you're going to have to find a spot for him in your lineup next year, and it's probably going to end up being DH. So if it takes you a full year to get Andrew Vaughn comfortable out there in left field, so be it. Here's one of the things we're going to be kicking around later on when we bring up these numbers and bring up these projections, and I'll be asking you along with this stuff all morning long at 312-644-6767, or you can text us at that same number, 312-644-6767. Who's going to have the most innings in left field this year for the Chicago White Sox? Most innings in left field. Your options are Lurie Garcia, Andrew Vaughn, Adam Eaton, if he's going to move over from right, although I don't think that's going to happen. Adam Engel. Or is it somebody else? Is Nick Williams going to make the team and play out there? Billy Hamilton going to make the team and play out there? Got a lot of options. And those are just the in-house ones. I think it's going to be Engel. I think what's going to happen is that Adam Engel, who has hit well enough to really be a starter in the very recent times, Engel's bat has been found. You know what you're getting from him in terms of the defense at any spot and the base running. I think you're going to see Adam Engel play the most innings of anybody for the White Sox in left field. You're going to see Engel, Robert, and Eaton to finish most every game defensively. And depending on the matchups, you'll see that trio in the outfield a decent amount, with Vaughn staying at DH. Maybe Vaughn every once in a while will get to play out there and left for the first five, six innings, replaced defensively towards the end if you have a lead, with Zach Collins getting a DH spot, or Yasmani Grandal getting a DH spot. If Abreu gets a first base DH spot, then it's Grandal playing first. All these kind of things. You want options. So that's why Vaughn should have been getting a shot out there before this, and why Vaughn is getting a shot out there now. So I'm ready to sign off on Eloy's left field career, and so it goes. All right, lots more to talk about with this story, but with a ton of other things as well. 312-644-6767. It's Hit and Run. Hop on in all morning long. It's Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about some difficult decisions that David Ross made and made them public yesterday on Hit and Run right here on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, believe me, that conversation is being had right now. But you have to pretty much throw out this year because who knows when he's going to come back, what he's going to come back with when he does, how he's going to come back. Nobody really knows. You just have to hope that at his young age, he heals more quickly than they speculate. But more times than not, with the chest so much of a factor in everything you do in this game, you'd have to say anything they get out of him this year is going to be a plus. Then I think during the winter time, when they sit back and they evaluate exactly what this team is going to look like heading into next year, that's when you make the decision. I don't think you can make the decision now. I think you have to wait. I think you have to get some perspective. I think you have to wait to see how this team is going to play this year. And then you have to make your evaluation later on.
Steve Stone from earlier in the week on 670 The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, and Danny Parkins. Watching highlights of Andrew Vaughn's play in left field the other day, I don't mean a specific play, but just, you know, his overall play. He had four balls that were hit to him. I think he's ready to go. Don't you guys? He had a fly ball with two outs in the seventh. That was his first fly ball. Before that, there were a couple. There were, I think, three other plays before that. There was a double down the left field line. And he made the play on that and threw it in. There's a couple other moments. I mean, it's very rare that you can really cause a massive, massive problem for your team in left field, but it can be done. It certainly can be done. Good piece on pitcher list that producer Sean Anderson sent me about with all the possible replacements for Eloy, but it talks about a recent comp when the Phillies signed Carlos Santana, and to me, I think Soul Sacrifice live at Woodstock is just, it's unbeatable, man.
I've been listening to a lot of Game of Love, Michelle Branch and Carlos Santana, great song.
Yeah, you've been jamming on that one, I understand. Well, you know, if you have those kind of skills, then you're going to bump Rhys Hoskins to the outfield. That's just going to happen. So Carlos Santana goes to the Phillies. They have him play first, and Rhys Hoskins goes out to left, and he was terrible. And even though it's just left, boy, was he extra special terrible in measurable ways, which is pretty funny and pretty amazing, considering that Hoskins had a 128 weighted runs created plus, which is very good. 100 is the average. He was up there at 128th, and that ranked him fourth among all qualified left fielders. That's great. But his WAR, wins apart replacement, with all of that was only one, which is very, very low. And it's odd that it would be that low for somebody having that good an offensive year. That's because that's how bad he was defensively, dropping fly balls, having zero range, leaving almost everything for center field that he possibly could, and then when he had to field a ball, again, sometimes dropping them. So look, I don't know that Andrew Vaughn is going to look like that. But it's in play. We don't know. Those four balls that he fielded the other day at left, those were the first four of his life. It's crazy. So it's been very, very awkward to watch Eloy out there, and several texts getting in here with some ideas as to what is going to be happening at 312-644-6767. Jim in Lockport thinks Andrew Vaughn's in left field against right-handed pitchers, and Zach Collins will DH, mix and match versus lefties. That's a lot of Andrew Vaughn. So Jim thinks a lot of Andrew Vaughn out there. Collins has had a terrific spring and looks different offensively. Looks like maybe he's ready to take that step offensively, which would be pretty awesome. We'll see how much he catches. And he's a lock to make the roster now, is Zach Collins. That is for damn sure. Eloy's left field misadventures bring into stark relief how much the hit tool is the only one that matters in modern day MLB. It's not the only one that matters, but it sure does matter above all. It depends to be seen how much here Tony La Russa will allow the style of the White Sox to shift just a little bit. It's okay to value defense a little more in left field sometimes. It is. It's all right. especially if you're, you start to get real good pitching. And, oh, by the way, that bullpen is probably going to be filthy. Incredibly, incredibly filthy. Speaks, I heard you talking about needing to get your son into some baseball games. Yeah, video, anything, otherwise, whatever. This comes less than an hour after I just signed my 7-year-old daughter up for softball for the first time. Proud papa! Can't wait to teach her all about the game. That's awesome. That's Sawyer and Dixon. Good morning, Sawyer. Enjoy that. We are back on 670 The Score. Sorry about that. Technical issues took us away, but then bring us back. But I do believe it gave you a chance to hear at least a little bit of Silk Sonic. Anything more out except for like the Silk Sonic theme and this lead track, I'ma Leave a Door Open. Oh, Anderson .Paak, Bruno Mars working together. Two of the best musicians living on the planet right now. It's true. Certainly two of the best active musicians living on the planet. And that is some hot stuff. But that's not why you called. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. I've been talking about the Eloy Jimenez situation. We can take your calls on that all morning long at 312-644-6767. Sean Marshall from the Marquee Sports Network will join us to talk Cubs at the top of the hour. Let's talk a little Cubs right now. And callers, if you want to hop on to talk anything Cubs and Sox, feel free at 312-644-6767. But David Ross announced some stuff yesterday. A couple of surprising decisions mixed in. Some not too surprising. Pedro Strop demoted. Brad Wick demoted. I think they like Rex Brothers. In fact, I know they like Rex Brothers quite a bit as a reliever from the left side, along with Andrew Chafin. Ildemaro Vargas and Matt Duffy remain on the roster, seemingly fighting it out for the final bench spot. The big news was at second base, though, because at second base there are four folks with a chance, and everybody's hitting well. Everybody has been hitting well. Eric Sogard brought in here to be the Jason Kipnis this year, but he's much more of a contact guy than Kipnis. As soon as they brought him in, was very likely to make the team. David Bode started out very slow. Nico Horner started out very, very hot. And I and others assumed that Nico Horner was going to make this team coming out of camp, and he did not. Want you to listen to David Ross talking about why Nico Horner didn't make the team, and he says really it's less about Horner and more about David Bode.
One, this is a little bit less about Nico and more about David Bode. I mean, David Bode had a great spring. Every second baseman really that we brought in camp had a great spring. I think it's a opportunity for David that David has earned. He deserves. I think it's a chance to play every day at second base, a guy that is going into his fourth season at the major leagues and, you know, has put up some good numbers and played great defense and has never really got a chance to play every day. So as much as we love Nico, and I think Nico's going to be a stud here for a long time, you know, gold glove second baseman, future all-star, I think, in my opinion, and what he's done in the offseason, the work he's done put in. I think there's a lot of confidence in this organization about him, but I don't think one is fair for him to come off the bench and get stale and have sporadic at bats. That's not setting him up for success. And I think David Bode earned the job. I think David, if this is a real competition, in my opinion, David won it, and this is a chance for David to play every day and get real at bats, and we'll see what we got in David Bode. And if anything goes wrong or anybody gets hurt, then Nico's next man in line.
So David Bode gets his shot at a full-time job. Ross went on to say it's his turn. It's Bode's turn. So he's going to get his shot at a full-time gig. He will be passable defensively. Probably a little bit above average defensively at second. Not as good as Nico on a team that needs defense. But he's going to get his shot to have that job every day. And that sets up something interesting around the diamond, by the way, which is that the Cubs have a regular at every position. First time in a long time. I mean, seriously, the entire Theo Epstein era, you were watching Dale Swaim kind of fight his way through some of the rebuild stuff, trying to figure out who was good, who was not. shuffling and using a bunch of different guys. And Ricky Renteria did some of the same. And some folks started to arrive. And then Joe Maddon used a ton of different players, a ton of different lineups. We used to do an over-under every year on the number of different lineups that Joe Maddon would have during the course of a year. And he topped himself. Those first three seasons for Joe, every year was more lineup variations than the one before. And that's not uncommon. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the world champion Dodgers. With two options at several different positions, a bunch of guys who could move around. Some of them are gone now. But a bunch of folks who could move around and lots of different combinations depending on the matchups. This year has a chance to be the fewest different lineups, the fewest different number of starters at positions for the Cubs, at primary positions, that we've seen in a decade. It's crazy. Rizzo will play first against both lefties and righties. Bodie is slotted in as your everyday second baseman. Eric Sogard will get some starts as a lefty bat against some righties, but it's not a strict platoon. It's Bodie's job, with Sogard as the backup there and the backup at short for Javi. Chris Bryant's going to play third. David Ross said very little in the outfield for Chris. Very little in the outfield this year. It's going to keep things simpler. Jock Peterson was promised an everyday job, which he will get even against left-handed starting pitchers, at least at the start of the season here. And there aren't that many. I think there's only four in the entirety of the National League Central for left-handed starters. Obviously, the Cubs don't have any, but four on the other teams. And then Ian Happ is your everyday center fielder. Jason Hayward, your everyday right fielder. Wilson Contreras is going to catch just about all the time. There's not a real need to get Victor Caratini in there when Yu Darvish is pitching, as both of those guys are gone. I mean, regulars. It's pretty different than what we've had. So, we'll have to see. But color me surprised on Nico. He showed up bigger, stronger, swing changed, with a larger posterior. My God, the base is bigger. But here's the truth about Nico. It's been a really non-linear development history. He shows up in September of 2019 off the couch, hitting .351 in his first nine games, an OPS near one in those first nine games. And then last year, playing sporadically because he was not hitting, was here all year. Jordan Bastian had it that since those first nine games in September of 2019, he's had 167 plate appearances for the Cubs with a slash line of .221, .287 on base, woof, .275 slug, woof. So Nico will go to the alternate site and eventually maybe to AAA and play all the time. Look, there are some people saying that this, and that includes you, Peoria, Matt, saying that this is a service time issue. I don't think they're concerned about seven being more than six for Nico Hoerner. You're assuming that he's going to develop into the kind of player where it's going to matter in a great deal, like it did for Chris Bryant or like it may for Alex Kirilloff there in Minnesota or some of these other guys. I don't think Nico is that kind of prospect, that you're worried about that. And if they were worried about service time with him specifically, why did they bring him up in September 2019? Why? Because they needed him. Why was he here all of last season when they could have easily sent him to the alternate site to buy some service time moments? I don't think that makes sense for this. I think Sogard was basically guaranteed a spot. Bodie hit well enough that they want to give him his chance. And they're out of options on Ildemiro Vargas, who may end up making this team, or at least gets a look for another couple of days. Nico, a victim of options, is what it seems to me. 312-644-6767. Before we listen to Ross talking about the Cubs rotation, let's talk to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Good morning, Stan. You're first up on Hit and Run. What's happening, man?
Great. How are you, Spee? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Beef, I am really thoroughly disgusted. If I could circle back to the Eloy.
Yep.
I mean, I enjoyed, you know, your Cubs conversation, but I actually called to talk about Eloy and the White Sox, and I'm really ticked off. You and I spoke last Sunday, and I think I expressed to you my optimism and enthusiasm about the White Sox this year. I was all set to pick them to win the American League. I really thought that going into the season that the White Sox on paper at least looked like the best team in the American League to me. And that's not a pick now that I could make with any enthusiasm. Because they, I mean, Eloy is out for, you know, 5 to 6 months. That's a game-changing injury there. But this is a rare occasion when I actually disagree with Stoney. I think Eloy's mishaps in the outfield is a decision that he made himself by his play. I could make that call today. I wouldn't wait until the end of the year or next year. I'm thoroughly in the take his glove away camp. I don't ever want to see him in the outfield again. And, you know, when I hear people, you know, like yourself saying that he was, you know, just hustling and trying to make a play, I don't know what he was doing, Spies. I don't know what play it is or was that he was trying to make. That ball cleared the fence 10 feet beyond his reach. I don't think it was freakish or flukish or, you know, just him hustling. I thought it was stupid. And I've seen enough. He actually, you know, besides his defense killing the White Sox, he's a danger to his own well-being out there. I mean, he is really the worst outfielder I've ever seen. And as far as what the White Sox are going to do, the question you posed about who you expect to or who do we expect to see the most innings in left field this year, well, you know what? I'll tell you what, in the short term, I guess it probably will be Adam Engel. But what I want, you know, considering the fact that he's going to be out the lion's share of this year, Eloy I'm talking about, I'm not one for mixing and matching and, you know, moving players from here to there. I don't want any DHs or part-time players out there. I want the White Sox to explore as soon as possible to getting an experienced, established major league corner outfielder. I don't want a part-time guy or a DH out there anymore. I mean, he's going to be out all year. I want somebody that we can rely on, and I want a guinea pig or an experiment out there. So, I mean, something like Jay Bruce or Mike Tauchman, but, you know, that's an option that's off the table now because Luke Voigt, their first baseman, is out, for a couple months here with knee surgery.
Right, so they're going to keep them both. They're going to keep them both now with the Yankees. They missed a window on possibly trading for one of those dudes.
Exactly. So that's an option that's no longer on the table, but my point is, I don't want any part-time guys or DHs out there. I want an experienced corner outfielder. The White Sox are going to have to rely on their defense now more than ever. So I want somebody good out there now, and I hope that Rick Hahn's on the phone to do that. But in the short term, though, I guess, you know, Adam Engel would be my choice and, you know, my pick to be out there, you know, more than anybody else, you know, for the first few weeks.
Thank you, Stan. Great stuff, as usual. Stan upset with the play, upset with Eloy, not understanding what he was trying to do as he was out there jumping up and then hanging with the arm. And we'll see, we'll see if the White Sox go out there looking around for trade options. Engel is hurt, as you know. So starting the year in left field on opening day, probably Andrew Vaughn or maybe Billy Hamilton. Although there is no bigger offensive drop-off, maybe anywhere in the league, to go from Eloy Jimenez to Billy Hamilton. That is not ideal. Sean Marshall from the Marquee Sports Network will join us at the top of the hour. Phone lines stay open for you at 312-644-6767. Let's talk about this potentially sneaky, decent Cubs rotation before Sean. We'll do that next on The Score.
You know, I don't want to underestimate the pitching core that we have. I think we've got some sneaky good pitchers that maybe not on the radar, but you know, there's definitely a willingness to be great from that group.
Sneaky good. How about sneaky decent? David Ross, how about it? I think this Cubs rotation will be better than most people do. I know. I'm weird like that. I trust the pitching infrastructure of this organization. I trust Tommy Hotovy, Mike Borzello, the analytics department. I like the work that they've done in the pitch lab with major league caliber arms, with especially, you know, certain guys adding certain pitches. Adbert Alzolay found a slider last year. We talked about it a little bit last year and early in the spring, and then it wasn't there in the spring. Then most of the Adbert Alzolay conversation was about the options. Is he going to have an option? Is he not? Once the league rules on it, will they send him down to start the year? But then the other night, Thursday night, he refound that slider. Spent a lot of time last year tweaking the shape of it. And this time, this start on Thursday night was enough for them to see, to believe that it is there like it was towards the end of last year. He threw 61 pitches against the Dodgers, big time batters there, obviously, and he overmatched most of them in their at-bats. 3 2/3 innings, 61 pitches, and he threw just the two-seam fastball, the four-seam fastball, and the slider. That's it. And so if you can get through the order a couple of times on that stuff alone, then the third time through, you can start to expand the repertoire if need be. Next time out, you can pitch in reverse. All of a sudden, you got stuff to work with. Now that he's added this slider, now that he has that pitch, the way the league is working, the way that pitching is going, it's a big, big ad for Adbert Alzolay. Listen to David Ross talk to you about Adbert, who officially will be the fifth starter for this team. Not going to start at the minor league site in South Bend. Going to start with the big club at the five spot.
Shelby's going to contribute to our team. I have no doubt about that. He's had another guy that's had a great spring. I think he's going to be a big piece for us. Guys come in. He's had a track record of having success, having a few struggles, and it looks like he's back on track to really pitch big innings for us. So, Adbert's on the team, and we'll map out his role and get back to you guys on that. I'm excited for Adbert. He's put in a lot of good work. It's really showed, really had a great performance the other night against a really deep Dodgers, world championship caliber or world championship team and a lot of all-stars. He went in there and kind of rolled through that lineup. So that was impressive to see. And I think he's earned this opportunity that he gets.
So Adbert will be the five. Trevor Williams will be the four. And Trevor Williams has big league stuff, had a real good year a couple years ago in Pittsburgh, lost his way. We'll see what happens there. I'm least confident about him. I'm worried about him. I think Adbert is going to end up being very solid. The innings will be something to watch for Adbert. Obviously didn't throw a lot last year. It was a short year. In 2016, he threw about 120 innings, 114 the year after that. But then injuries and the shortened season last year have limited him to 142 total innings. And that does not include, however you quantify, what he threw at South Bend last year as part of the alternate site. They went out there and simulated all this stuff. So they got to figure out how to use his innings, where they're going to get to, maybe 130. 140, something like that. But I said this on Parkins and Spiegel and got laughed at, and they still throw it up in my face. But I'm going to stand by it. I think he's going to be the second best pitcher in this rotation this year. I think Adbert's going to have a real good year. 2, 3, and 4 are going to be Adbert, and Jake Arrieta, who you know, but you'll see a slightly different version of, and Zach Davies. Zach Davies has had a great spring after a great short season in San Diego. And he's going to be one of those guys you appreciate the more you see him. Because at first you're going to be like, oh my God, this dude's throwing junk. And then you're going to be like, if you haven't had a chance to watch him yet, oh my God, this dude knows exactly what he's doing. He and Kyle Hendricks having lockers near each other, talking baseball. Some very similar stuff and approaches, but we'll see how different it becomes, Zach from Kyle, or maybe to Kyle. They are, you know, going to learn some stuff from each other. They've always been talked about similarly, compared to each other, now teammates. But I think 1 through 4 is going to be pretty interesting. Pretty darn interesting. It's not elite. It's not like I'm saying they're going to be one of the best rotations in baseball, but I don't think it's going to be terrifying for people. Faint praise, baby. Slightly faint. Later on next hour, you will hear from Jake Arrieta, who was on with our Lawrence Holmes the other day and got into what he's been working on a little bit. Also next hour, some of the best bullpens in MLB lined up. And we will also talk to you about the newest Cuban member of the White Sox organization, though not officially. It won't be official until the winter. I think it's January will be the next international signing period when that becomes official for the next Cuban. But we'll talk about him a little bit, explain him to you, and give you some context to the situation. It is Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. The Score's baseball show. Sean Marshall from Marquee Sports Network will join me, Matt Spiegel, next right here on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.